Deuteronomy chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1 through the 14th chapter of verse of chapter 21 forms a section that we're going to look at next. God had certainly blessed the nation of Israel. He was their king. They were about to inherit a great land and were given a holy law to guide them. But even with all of these advantages, they faced problems and issues just like we face today. And the problem is, ever since sin entered the world, we have a heart problem, don't we? Because the most devastating and far-reaching disease in the history of man is sin. Every single person is infected. Every single person has a death sentence upon them because of sin. The wages of sin is death. As a matter of fact, when we are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, aren't we? And there are some denominations, I was raised in one, that teach that being sprinkled with water as a baby, they call it baptism, but it's not, washes away original sin. Wouldn't that be great if that was true? If we just take babies, have a long assembly line, have babies come, sprinkle them with water, and their original sin be washed away. Wouldn't that be awesome? The unfortunate thing is there's not a single Bible verse that claims that to be true. And when I got saved, I made a commitment to God. And I'm sure you did too. When you became a child of God, I committed to want to know and promise to believe everything the Bible teaches. And everything else really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, I may have opinions on things, and I'll let you know when it's an opinion. But if it's not in the Bible, then I'm not interested in incorporating it into what we teach, because it's only what God says that matters, right? Well, people are people. Back then, today, we're all sinners. The root of every problem is sin. And where does sin originate? It's in our hearts, isn't it? Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, murders, thefts, covetousness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." He said, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Mark 7. I think it's chapter 20, 21, I believe, or verse 20, 21. So we all have a heart problem. Everybody. Everybody's born with it. Now, laws are good. We're going to talk about some laws. Laws are good because laws help to control behavior, don't they? Because, again, we're sinners. And if there is no law, then there is injustice. And if there's injustice, there's anarchy. And we're beginning to see some real examples across our nation of anarchy. Are we not? Crime rates are through the roof. There's anarchy at the border. Millions have come through just in the last year and a half. Fentanyl, other drugs, human trafficking, all of this is out of control. There is anarchy in the land. Now we have a dual justice system where there's one set of laws for conservatives and there's one set of laws for the far left radical liberal freakos. It's happening. There's anarchy. There are DAs that have been, I guess, is Soros the one that has funded a lot of these elections to get these far-left radical Marxist DAs in there who are very, very soft on crime and emptying jails. And, of course, now we're at the point, remember, one of the signs of anarchy is you get out of your house and you walk down the street and you're scared for your life. It's happening in cities across our country. Well, laws help to restrain evil. Laws help to control behavior, but they cannot change hearts. You've heard the old saying, you cannot legislate morality. Obviously, if you legislate morality, it helps society to a limited degree, but it cannot change a heart. Only God's grace changes hearts. And that's why we got to tell people about Jesus. That's why we got to invite people to church. And that's why we have to live the life we claim that we believe. That Christ, you know, makes us new creations. And so we should live that way. We shouldn't live like everybody else. We shouldn't desire the same things as everybody else. Because if we do, then our hearts are like everybody else's. But God changes hearts. He changes lives, doesn't he? He saves families. He delivers people from addictions. That's the power of our God, the power of his word, the power of the Holy Spirit. In this part of Deuteronomy, we are reminded that God values human life. I cannot believe how radically angry the far left has become over the issue of abortion. I don't know why you would be so proud of the fact that you're for slaughtering babies. I don't get the thrill in that. I don't understand that. A woman's right to choose. No one has the right to kill somebody unless it's a state and it's according to the principles of the Word of God. And of course, if we go to war, obviously, there are exceptions. But all in all, we cannot take the law in our own hands. If I get mad at somebody, I don't have the authority to just pull out a gun and shoot him for no reason, do I? So this idea that somehow it's a woman's right to slaughter a baby, and like the physician, ex-governor of Virginia, that said that baby should be, and I heard it out of his own mouth, this is not hearsay that some far-right person said this. I heard it out of his own mouth, that baby should be able to be delivered, laid on the stomach of that mother, and the doctor and that mother should discuss what to do with that baby, whether it should live or not. I heard it out of my own, I heard it with my own ears. That's where we're at. And you mark it down. The Lord tarries is coming. Let me tell you what's going to happen. People that are deemed too old to be fit for, well, even Obama said, what we need to do is for health care for those seniors that are, you know, kind of becoming a burden, give them a pill. Not a pill to make them feel better, a pill to get rid of them. He said it.
I was going to say, Liberty Counsel just announced, I think it was earlier this week, that California did pass that law, that after an infant is born, he can be terminated within 28 days.
There you go. That's where we're at. That's why, folks, when you go vote on November the 8th, which I hope you go in person, it's harder to cheat when you go in person, bring 10 people with you. We have got. Now, I know that Republicans are not the answer to all of our problems, but I do know that the far left radical Marxist liberals are the cause of most of them. If you don't believe me, sit down and make a list. Look at where things were a year and a half ago. Look where they're at now. We got to do something. This is not just political stuff I'm talking about. This is moral. Killing babies was a moral issue long before it became political. All right. So we're reminded that God holds human life precious, and he wants people treated fairly and justly. After all, we are created in the image of God, are we not? Way back in Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, the waters had receded, took several months for things to dry up enough for them to leave the ark. I mean, that was a lot of water. You know, the golf courses were flooded, the greens were flooded. No, not really. In chapter 9, verse 1 of Genesis, we read, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So when you read that verse, does it kind of make you think that man has preeminence over creatures? Well, today, of course, the creature is worshipped more than the creator, as it was predicted by Paul in Romans 1. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you. I love that. But there are some living things that move around that I have no interest in eating. But we have to stop eating beef because they toot. Really, the experts say that that's causing global warming. So what I would recommend is you eat them faster and there's less of them. And that's less tooting. So I got another half coming in December. Okay. I keep my kids in beef. And of course, I keep myself beef. Yes. Because, you know, if you buy it from the store, you don't know. You're getting grandma's heifer, you know, that's 98 years old and full of antibiotics and everything. So I get it straight from the guy. And I hope he never retires. Or I die first when the rapture occurs. Every moving thing shall be food for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. And I love veggies. You may not know this, but I love veggies too, except lima beans. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. This is pre-law. Okay, so you can't say, well, yeah, the law of Moses said an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But that doesn't apply today. We can't have the death penalty. That's cruel and unusual punishment. No, we can't do that. No, God said before the law that if you murder, first degree murder, if you murder somebody, premeditated murder, then you are to be put to death. And I know that the big libs say it does not deter crime. Hogwash. They're liars. Anybody that's sane, if they know that if I kill somebody and I have planned to kill them, it's premeditated first degree murder, and I will be put to death. Not 15 years down the road, but after a fair trial and maybe one appeal, I am going to be put to death. Don't you tell me that somebody's not going to say, you know what, I think maybe I ought not kill somebody today. I mean, come on. You see what leniency, what it's done for us? Crime is out of control. Up, I mean, in some places, 100%. I don't know. Do I sound angry? Well, I am. All right, let's look, number one, at justice in the land. Go back to chapter 19 of Deuteronomy. Again, without justice, society falls apart, leads to anarchy, and you can't even leave your house. Well, back in Moses' day, and of course, he's looking ahead to going into the land. Joshua's day, there wasn't a police force. They didn't have police to investigate crime and to hunt down criminals and bring them to justice. It was up to the victims' families to pursue justice, not to take the law in their own hands. They didn't have a right to just go and kill somebody, but they were involved in the process. So the Lord commanded that there be cities of refuge where somebody accidentally killed somebody, not premeditated, but accidentally killed somebody. There was a place for them to flee to until justice could be served, until the situation could be examined. Because you know as well as I do, and we'll look at the biblical example here, if somebody accidentally gets killed, there are some people that would get extremely angry, family members get extremely angry and decide, you know what, I'm not going to let this slip by. I'm going to get that guy. Right? So there had to be some kind of protection. These are not, the cities of refuge are not at all like the sanctuary cities of and states of today in the United States, where criminals are protected, where people get away with murder. The sanctuary cities are havens for crime. And there's more and more of them, and they're all in far-left radical Marxist cities and states. So God would promote justice by having these cities of refuge. So let's look at the cities. If somebody would read verses 1 through 3 and then 7 through 10. How about if one person did 1 through 3? He'll volunteer to do that. Chapter 19, 1 through 3. Volunteer. Becca? And then 7 through 10. 7 through 10. George, I see that nod in the back. All right, go ahead, Becca.
When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither.
Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more for thee beside these three.
All right, thank you both. So in verse number, by the way, if you want to read more detail about the cities of refuge, originally Moses taught the people in Numbers 35, verses 9 through 34, Numbers 35, 9 through 34. All right, so begins in verse number 1, when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, and he's talking about, of course, Joshua leading the people into the promised land, defeating the various peoples, destroying them. It may sound cruel, but remember, they were so far from God, totally absorbed in idolatry and immorality. And what they were doing were as they procreated, bringing more and more people into the world who would also reject God. And so the numbers multiplied exponentially. So God was showing mercy in cutting these people completely off. Doesn't sound merciful, but it was. Saved a lot of people from hell. So he said, when you get there, and of course he made it very clear, the Lord thy God's the one going to give it to you. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it, but I'm going to give it to you because I'm God and I love you. I've chosen you. He said, when you dispossess them, and you dwell in their cities and in their houses, separate three cities and make it convenient where everyone can get to it easily. There should be good roads to the cities. The roads should be maintained and they should be centrally located. Remember that three cities had already been chosen east of the Jordan River, all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we looked at this in verse number 41. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee there hither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, accidentally, of course, without premeditation, and hated him and not in times past. Because, you know, when you have hatred in your heart towards someone and you allow it to stew and it begins to get worse where it becomes malice, and then you can get to the point where wickedness really takes over and you start planning that person's demise and you kill them, first degree murder. So he said, if you haven't any hatred toward a person, and something happens and they die, they need to have a city to flee to. and hateth him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. And then he named three cities, Bezer, I'm pretty sure that's a long either, in the plain country of the Reubenites, Ramoth of, in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And so three cities were already chosen. Now we're talking about three cities on the west side of the Jordan, which of course would be chosen after they get into the land. In verse number three, thou shalt prepare thee a way, or measure the distances, divide the coasts, or the areas of the land, as the ESV has it, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit or possess unto three parts, and every slayer or manslayer may flee thither. And then verse 7, wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate or set apart three cities for thee, if the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy coast or territory, as he has sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more for thee beside these three. So the total would be nine. The only time that the Jews had the entire land was under David. When Solomon came along, of course, he had multiple wives that kind of steered him, not that David didn't, but steered him toward idolatry. And he lost some of the land. So the only time they had the entire land was under David. And so they would have nine. They would have had nine cities of refuge during that time. All right. So three cities east: Golan, Ramoth, Bezer. Cities west: Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. Easily accessible, and the roads again were to be kept up and clearly marked. We know that Israel was promised a certain portion of land, as was told Abraham. A good verse for this, chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt. What river would that be? Nile River. From the Nile River, unto the great river, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, which is the Euphrates River. So you got the Nile and the Euphrates, okay? Then in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. So if they obeyed the law of God and honored and loved him, then he would keep this promise that they would have that land. Remember, when we disobey the will of God, and we turn our hearts away from him, the many blessings that God wants to pour out upon us, he will withhold. I mean, think of the blessings that we get even when we're not where we should be spiritually. I mean, most Americans have their basic needs met, and all could have their basic needs met. Think about it. The blessing of our God. But God has so much more for us. And many of us live our whole lives and never realize, never see all that God has in store for them that love him. And he doesn't require much. He really doesn't. Considering what he's done for us, coming down from the throne of heaven, taking on the form of a man, born in a lowly manger, lived a sinless life, suffered at the hands of the very men and women that he created, was hung upon a cross, nailed there, spiked there. He died, rejected and despised, spat upon, having part of his beard plucked, had a crown of very large thorns pressed upon his brow, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb, where he then rose 3 days later and appeared to hundreds of witnesses, and then ascended into heaven and promised that he would be back. The angels that were there at his ascension said, this same Jesus is going to come back the same way. Now, that alone, I mean, just that, if we, of course, repent of our sin and believe in him that he died to pay our sin debt, receive him as Savior and Lord, and we're born into his family, the blessing of eternal life begins at that moment, John 5:24. That moment we got saved. Not a future thing. It's right now. Right now. We are right now, present tense, involved in eternal life. Why? Because we're never going to really die. We'll die physically. The Lord tarries his coming. But that's really a graduation. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we really don't die. We don't cease to exist, do we? I think that'd make a dead Episcopalian shout. I mean, it might even cause a Roman Catholic to get stirred up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. All right, let's stop there. Next, we're going to look at the manslayer. That's verses 4 through 6. They were intentionally skipped, but we are going to go back and look at those, Lord willing, next time. Any questions or comments?
Maybe you could send this message to the White House this morning.
Send it to the White House. Well, they would have to interpret it because our poor president does not have the capacity to understand much of anything. It's sad. And I feel bad for him. I really do. But he is a vile, corrupt liar. It's very sad what we have in the White House. But